From Shaw and Partners, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Yeah, morning, Mike.
Have they cleaned the tanks out yet at Channel?
Well, they are. They are. We're into week 8 of the conflict now, Mike. Still no real clarity over when the Middle East conflict might be resolved. Could be tomorrow, could be another 2 weeks. And understandably, at the moment, this is creating a whole lot of negative outcomes. But yesterday, you're seeing a rare silver lining for a company. And this is, as you point out, Channel Infrastructure. Now, Channel, I suspect 8 weeks ago, no one actually, a lot of people didn't know who Channel Infrastructure were. They've come into the spotlight because of this interest now that we've got in our fuel supply and our fuel resilience. Channel is the old New Zealand Refining Limited. It's a company that used to refine crude oil up in Northland. These days, they run that as a fuel import terminal. They've also got the whole Marsden Point Energy Precinct. They've got some interest in Australia as well. Now, we know that they were planning on offering more diesel storage capacity. Yesterday, we got details of that, what had been a previously announced contract to provide what is pretty significant diesel storage to the government, fairly short-term basis, and this is obviously a response to the crisis. So they're going to provide 93 million litres of storage capacity. That equates to 9 additional days of New Zealand diesel demand. Fun fact, that's equivalent to 37 Olympic swimming pools worth of diesel. And for that, they will get $1.2 million a month. So yes, they're repurposing existing tanks. So they must have had a heck of a lot of empty tanks, wouldn't they? Yeah, a lot of empty tanks. They should have them ready by the end of May. That storage has been contracted to the end of 2027. So you'd now expect the government to go out and try and secure the supply to fill those tanks up. And it gives another layer to an additional layer to our fuel security. We did get the latest update from MBS on fuel supply. It still, to me, still looks adequate. The ship's on the way with fuel on board. After 2027, the government may look at increasing those minimum stockholding requirement that the fuel companies have to hold. And I would expect that we will end up paying for that because it will cost them to hold it. Channel obviously get more revenue for this, but they, what was interesting yesterday, Mike, they haven't moved their earnings guidance. Whereas we know they're getting some more money for this, we can only speculate as to their thinking around, you know, demand, higher prices. Perhaps there won't be as much going through their facility over time.
Okay, interesting. How the market's handling it all, given they've opened internationally?
Yeah, right. So another weekend of on again, off again, truce, ceasefire, on again, off again, straight opening. My understanding, and we always do this check on a morning, Mike, my understanding is that right now the Strait of Hormuz is not open. No. Of course, it could be open tomorrow. So we're in a position where there's always the potential for the situation to be resolved. Timing, however, on this thing just remains elusive, doesn't it? Oil price this morning. Look, Brent crude is it's over $95. So it doesn't indicate that the oil market believes a resolution is imminent. If I look at the forward pricing, so futures contracts, they're still over $80 right out to the end of the year, so right out to December. So, you know, they are believing that these higher prices will linger. I would note, though, Mike, we've talked about this thing called this stuff called dated Brent. That's the physical delivery. So if you actually wanted to go and buy, you know, 10,000 barrels of actual oil, on the 7th of April, that peaked at over $144 a barrel. It has steadily been falling. And actually on Friday, it was under $98.94. Look, yesterday, the price is set once a day. It did head higher again to $106. But there's certainly nowhere near as much stress in that market as there was. Asian share markets yesterday, pretty weak follow through from that Friday rally. But overnight, the European and the US markets mildly weaker. I would draw listeners' attention to local interest rates. They have come back reasonably materially from the highs that they spiked to in March. I was getting quite worried because the local interest rate were pushing quite a lot higher. If I look yesterday, the five-year swap, that's the benchmark rates, which peaked at 4.2%. Yesterday closed at 3.83. So look, they're quite a bit higher than they were at the start of the conflict, but they're coming back. And the currency market's been pretty volatile, been all over the show. I'm looking at the trade-weighted index. It has recovered, if we look at against all currencies, specifically still very weak against the Aussie dollar, though.
Well, I was going to say it was 81 yesterday, and that's anemic. Anyway, what are the numbers?
So the Dow Jones is down. Well, it's down small, actually. It's down about 30 points, so it's 0.06%. It's at 49,418. The S&P 500 is down 25 points, that's 0.35%, 7,100, and the NASDAQ is down 0.34%. So they're only small falls, 84 points, 24,383. The FTSE 100 overnight lost just over 0.5%, 10,609. The Nikkei, this is obviously during the day trading yesterday, up 0.6%, 58,825. The Shanghai Composite was up 0.75%, 4082, and very quiet in the Australasian markets. The ASX up 6 points, 8953. The NZX 50 up 10 points, 12,915. Kiwi dollar, 0.5889 against the US. Small recovery against the Aussie, 0.8209. 0.4997 against the euro. 0.4351 pounds. 93.47 Japanese yen. Gold, $4,807, and as I said, Brent crude, just a touch over $95, $95.40 as we look at it right now.
Andrew Kelleher, Shaw and Partners.